Good, Lena. Well, I was kind of hoping you were going to play some piano, but... Well, you got me on that one. Well, Charlotte's not feeling well today, so she couldn't be here. If you'll stand with me, we're going to sing. So we need you to really sing up to make up for the piano missing.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful, my Savior's love for me it was in the garden. He prayed, not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own grief, but swept drops of blood for mine.
Here we go.
How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sin and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
On the last.
When with a ransom in glory his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. How I love to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing, cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
On the last.
I'm so glad I learned to trust him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that he is with me, he'll be with me till the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him.
Thank you, Carolyn. Thank you.
Okay, now for the, well, actually, before we get to the announcements, let's do the memory verse of the month. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who giveth me strength. Philippians 4:13.
Thank you.
Nice job. Okay. This is a church corporate prayer request. If you have a request for prayer, a need for prayer, please fill this out. Someone will come and pick it up, and after the music, we will pray for you. All right? Did you want to address this?
Okay, so we're coming up to our annual meeting. That's next week, our Grace Family Council. We're going to have a potluck. But also, we have to affirm our annual budget, and so we prepared this proposed annual budget for you to look at in advance so that next week we can say as a church, yeah, we'll support that. You'll notice that the budget has an increase, an overall increase about 1.2%, and the budget is based on our actual costs from last year. We had to adjust some things because insurance went up, utilities went up a bunch, just things like that, but you'll have an opportunity to see where we're at on the budget. So look that over.
And don't forget, it's going to be a meal, so you got to bring food, all right?
Bring some food.
Yeah. Dessert at the top of the list. And I want to personally thank Becky for all the nice munchies that she puts out there. Don't you think she does a great job? I usually get to take some home. Okay, ladies' Bible study. Next meeting is this Wednesday right here at the church at 10. And the study will be about the lost sheep from Luke. And if you need any more information about that, you can talk to Laura right over here, and she'll be glad to share with you.
However, I got to make a comment. It really should be about the lost goat, because we have one that's been roaming the property. Got pictures of it.
Here?
Right here in the property, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So, the lost goat.
No kidding.
The lost fat goat. Yeah, it's a white and brown fat goat.
I could use him in my yard. Okay, next men's breakfast is Saturday, the 1st of February at 8 o'clock. So come on out, guys. Men's fraternity is, next meeting is Monday the 27th, so that'll be a week from tomorrow. And that's at 6:30 p.m. right here in the pastor's office. Don't forget the potluck next week. Bring lots of good food and pick up your daily bread in the foyer and count your blessings wall. I see we've got three blessings out there already. Well, look, we're going to have a sunny week, so that's a blessing in itself. So, you know, you can thank the Lord for that, because I'm sick of the rain. If you'll stand with me, we're going to do some more singing.
Let it be, dear Lord, let world of toil and snares. If I falter, Lord, who cares? Who will be my burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is shore, just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
One more time.
Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
That was fun.
Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassion, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature's in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord. to me. Pardon for sin and the peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
You may be seated.
Amen. Great is God's faithfulness. Maybe we ought to take just a moment and name some of those things that God has been faithful to us in. We'll just take a little time to praise the Lord and his faithfulness. And so what can we say? God, thank you for your faithfulness to me for this matter. Health. For health. God has given us some health. Amen? Mm-hmm. Really good. God is faithful. Dave. A wonderful church to go to. Thank you. You know, I was just in my journal this morning before coming, just telling the Lord how wonderful it's been. I mean, apart from him, I'm thinking, I'd have never been here. I'd never been able to enjoy you wonderful folks. He's been faithful all through these years. And here we are at the start of another year. That's been so good. God's been faithful. How? Saving a sinner like me. We couldn't expect to be saved, right? We had nothing, no reason why God should save us. But he just did. God is faithful. How else? How else? God is faithful. Daily provision. Yes. Employment. Yeah. He does all kinds of things. What else? Wives and daughters. Yay, barely. No sons? Okay, all right. Okay, all right. And a son, yes. I know. God is so faithful. He loves us so much. You know, you probably hear that. God loves you. God loves you. God. But it has to sink in just how much God really does love us. It's more than we can imagine. All right, we're going to go to the Father right now. If you have prayer requests.
I think Lena has something to share.
Yeah, Lena.
Well, I was just going to say how thankful I am for all his provisions. And he always provides everything that we need.
Yeah. Has anybody run out of whatever they needed for life at the moment?
No.
No, he's always provided.
He always provides everything we need. Not everything we want, but everything we need.
Yeah. Okay, and peace.
Yeah, that grace and that mercy every morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
okay.
In this world, we really need that.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Yeah. Okay. Any eminent prayer requests for today? You don't have to be ashamed about needing prayer, right? If you're feeling like, oh, I don't want to tell, I don't want to take time in the service, have the pastor pray for me. I just want you to know how sad it would be that if you were here today and you needed prayer and you didn't feel like you could ask for prayer. Yeah.
The little girl who prayed for last week.
Yes.
Passed away on Monday morning.
She did.
Or Monday afternoon.
Okay, and I don't.
Mia.
Mia.
She was almost.
Yeah, they took her up to the Dornbecker's, was it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she didn't survive. Okay. Mia's mom and dad are
Jorge and Nina.
Well, let's start right there. Lord God, Jorge and Nina are just having a really difficult time, no doubt, with the loss of their daughter, Mia. And it's been a horrific week and without the outcome that they were hoping for. They need your love and peace. They need your mercy. They need your strength now, Lord, to just see it, see through another day. So would you bless them with some good friends to come alongside and help them at this time? You're the God of all comfort, and we pray that, Lord, you would send your comforters to comfort them. Lord, we also want to pray for the folks in Los Angeles, so many that are struggling with the loss of a home, loss of loved ones. Lord, we want to pray for that effort in Los Angeles, where thousands of people are now homeless, and it just seems like a third world country. How could that happen? We pray for the firefighters that are working there, all the first responders. Give them strength. Lord, we also want to pray for our nation on the cusp of a change in leadership, the passing of the baton from one administration to the next. And we pray, Lord, for a peaceful transfer of power and a rejoicing, I think, of a new day in America. We also want to pray for so many people that need you. And so, Lord, we lift up our high five cards today and we say, Lord, work in the lives of our friends, our neighbors, our loved ones. Lord, I pray for my neighbors and those on my high five card that I'd have opportunity to share with them and pray for them and to care for them and tell them about the good news of Jesus. We pray for divine opportunities. Lord, we want to see more souls come to faith in Christ this year. So make that happen. And Lord, I want to pray for our good friend Richard Truby, who just went to the hospital with some heart issues. Lord, would you preserve him and protect him at this time? Would you comfort him and assure him? And Lord, I pray for his daughter, Christine, as no doubt she's worried about Dad. Lord, bless him now. And bless our service in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The light turned yellow just in front of him. He did the right thing, stopping at the crosswalk, even though he could have beaten the red light by stepping on the gas and speeding through the intersection. The tailgating woman behind him was furious and honked her horn, screaming in frustration as she missed her chance to get through the intersection, dropping her cell phone and makeup. As she was still in mid-rant, she heard a tap on her window and looked up to see the face of a very serious police officer. The officer ordered her to exit her car, put her hands up. He took her to the police station where she was searched, fingerprinted, photographed, and placed in a holding cell. After a couple of hours, a policeman approached the cell and opened the door. She was escorted back to the booking desk where the arresting officer was waiting with her personal effects. He said, "Ma'am, I'm very sorry for the mistake. You see, I pulled up behind your car while you were blowing your horn, flipping off the guy in front of you and cussing a blue streak at him. I noticed the 'What Would Jesus Do?' bumper sticker, the Choose Life license plate holder, the Follow Me to Sunday School bumper sticker, and the chrome-plated Christian fish emblem on the trunk. So naturally, I assumed your car was stolen." We laugh because we can identify with this. And we're, by the way, we're all guilty of using God's name in vain and misusing God's name and doing things that really don't show well for the kingdom of God. I'm told, church, that there's roughly 35,000 laws on the books, all enforcing the Ten Commandments. So they must be pretty important. But have you ever stopped to ask yourself why? Why does this third commandment make the top 10? Why does the third commandment make the top 10? You'll find that third commandment in Deuteronomy chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 11 today, where it says, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." God is serious about his name. Very serious about his name. You ask, well, what's the big deal, God, about your name? Well, I'm here to tell you that there's a lot about God's name. It represents three things. What's in a name? It represents three things. It represents God's reputation, it represents his character, and it represents his authority. And here they are. Reputation. We hear people say, well, that guy's making a name for himself, or that woman has a good name. He's got a good name. When you hear certain names, you have a certain idea about certain people, right? What comes to your mind when you hear the name Dr. Martin Luther King? We're going to celebrate his birthday tomorrow. I'm going to celebrate my wife's birthday tomorrow. There's a big party in the Capitol. Martin Luther King, yeah. I just throw that in there for you, honey. Yeah. Yeah, every 4 years they have a big party. Yeah. We got guys like Abraham Lincoln. There's a name for you. What kind of a name is that? Is that a good name? You hear guys like Hitler. He has a name as well, but it's not associated so well. But you know people by their name. It represents their reputation. Mother Teresa has a good name. There's a lot of people who have good names. Some have not so good names. What's in a name? Well, it has to do with God's character. It also has to do with his reputation and also his character. You see, what you are cannot be separated from your name once you're ID'd. So we've got guys like Honest Abe. Abraham Lincoln had a good name, and he was known as an honest man. Well, how about guys like Tricky Dick? Remember him? Do you remember how he got his name? Slick Willie? The current Hayden Biden? And others? You see, their name reveals something about their character. And thirdly, we talk about authority. What's in a name? Well, it has to do with a person's authority. So, if you're driving down the road and a police officer pulls you over in the name of Bugs Bunny, that's not going to do anything, right? Stop in the name of Bugs Bunny! But if you have them stop in the name of the law, you understand that the law has some authority here and is requiring you to do what it says. Authority, right? Imagine you're having dinner. Someone calls, and it's a Don Smith is calling. Oh, I don't know who that is. Forget that. Have him call back later. But maybe if you get a phone call and it's Donald Trump that's on the phone, you might want to take that one. It's just, what's in a name? It has to do with reputation, character, and authority. And God says, don't misuse my name, because all three of these things define who he is. What's in a name? You know, we can misuse God's name in a number of different ways, and I want to give you five ways we misuse God's name today. First, we misuse God's name when we use his name to insult people. We misuse his name when we use it to indulge ourselves. When we, third, use it to intimidate other people. Number four, when we use his name to try and impress people. And lastly, when we use God's name impulsively. But the biggest one probably is the first one, when we use God's name to insult, because cussing is a big problem, right? I wish I could say when I'm among brothers and sisters in Christ, I never hear people misusing God's name, but it happens. And oftentimes I'm hearing, I'm sorry, Pastor, that was a slip. Little French there, something like that. We misuse God's name, and oftentimes we assign it to cussing. Reminds me of the story of the farmer who was late for dinner. I mean, he's really late. And the wife says, "Honey, did you have problems coming home from town? Did the wagon break down?" And the old farmer says, "No. Getting out of town, I stopped and picked up the preacher. And after that, the mules didn't understand a thing I said." We insult God when we use his name to express irritation, when we use his name to express anger or disgust. You know America's foul mouth. Our movies, our TV, our books, our internet, all of them are pretty foul mouthed. They just throw around. And it used to be when I was growing up, you'd never hear that stuff on television. They just kind of beep it out nowadays. You know what they're saying. And the comedians, they think it's just funny as all get out to use God's name in vain. They think it's hilarious. We throw around items. You ever think about how hell, the word hell is misused? Now there is the theological abode for eternal suffering. But have you noticed how many things that it's compared to? Like this morning, it's cold as hell outside. Or it's hot as hell. Some people are smart as hell. Others are, Tom, they're dumb as hell. Right? We compare all kinds of things and we think, oh, well, that's no big deal, but God thinks it's a big deal. Using God's name to insult and God's things to insult. Why do we do it? We do it because we try to look tough, sound tough, be big. I remember as a kid, I had a foul mouth. And we used to go around and joke. I had a friend, we'd have cussing contests to see who could cuss the best. Oh, that was terrible. You know, when I found Jesus, I had to put all the cussing behind. I did. And God took me to task on it. Let me just tell you, if you're having a problem with your potty mouth, it doesn't speak well of you. Anybody can cuss. Any idiot can cuss. I can teach a parrot to cuss. I can teach a 3-year-old kid to cuss. It doesn't take any intelligence. But I'll tell you what, to watch your lips and to speak well, right, that requires intelligence, self-discipline, power, godliness. People open their mouths and you know right away they're letting all of their character just being spilled out there. Secondly, we use God's name to indulge ourselves. We excuse ourselves and we blame God. Oh. Yeah, it's like, Pastor, I'm sorry I didn't make it to church Sunday. God led me to stay in bed. I think, no, you probably had lead in your pajamas. God led me to stay. God led me to do this. God told me to do that. We use God's name that way, and we try to indulge ourselves. Oh, God. God doesn't want me to fulfill that contract. He doesn't want me to pay that bill at this time. I prayed about it. Well, that's great. But using God to cover for yourself isn't something that he appreciates. And so we indulge ourselves and we blame God for our actions. The third way we misuse God's name is to intimidate people. And some people are just professionals at this. You know who I'm talking about? Television evangelists. Like, God told me that you're supposed to send in money, and if you don't, we're going to have to pull the plug on this ministry. A number of years ago, there was a famous evangelist that said, God told me that unless you send in $1 million, God was going to strike them dead. Sometimes we do this with our kids. You better straighten up or God's going to get you. Right? Have you heard that? Better straighten out. God's going to get you. We're trying to intimidate people. How about the one? Oh. Who can I pick on here? Who can I pick on? I'll pick on Mark because he's this good. God told me, Mark, what you're supposed to do. And you're supposed to help me out. And Mark says, well, wait a minute. I talked to him this morning. Why didn't he tell me? Right? Why didn't he tell me? Right? You get those, God told me that, you know, you're supposed to give me some money, lend me your car, do this or that, all kinds of things. We try to intimidate people. How about spouses? Honey, I prayed about it, and God said, we need to buy a new Chevy truck. Honest, honey, in my dreams. Just got to have it. Some of you guys would say, no, God told me to buy a new Dodge truck, a new Ford truck, whatever. How about using God's name to impress? Insecure people do this a lot. Insecure believers, they're using all kinds of spiritual phrases. Oh, bless God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's just, I mean, on and on and on, and it goes, and it just kind of flows off their tongue in a syrupy tone. Sometimes you hear them with sort of I'll call it a King James English, you know. Oh, Heavenly Father, thou, you know, mightiest God, you know. And they have a special tone, and they're thinking they're impressing God, maybe impressing other people when they're using a different kind of tone of voice or a different kind of language. You think, time out. Syrupy talk doesn't impress anybody. God says that lifestyle impresses him. Godliness is what impresses God. Don't turn God into a cliche. Just simply love the Lord. Show him. Are you praying? Are you reading God's word? Are you tithing, putting him first in your finances? Are you doing any ministry at all? Do you have good deeds toward other people? Or are you just wanting other people to do good deeds for you? You want to impress God? Live like Jesus did. You want to impress God? Don't do anything or say anything without hearing from Jesus first. Honor him with your lips. And then the last category is that we misuse God's name when we use his name impulsively. And this is a trap. Using God's name as a convenient expression of joy and surprise or fear. It's like this, okay? You'll recognize this. I just caught a 30-pound fish. Oh, my God! I just got a new dress. Oh, this is so wonderful. And we use God's name that way. Penny is pregnant. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. Yeah. Trying to use God's name impulsively like that is we've reduced his name to an exclamation point. So here's what God's saying, church. Don't use his name flippantly. Heaven's yes or hell's no are both wrong. Now, impulsively means without thinking. We just say it without thinking. In fact, we can actually worship God impulsively. How do you do that? Well, we can sing, "Great is thy faithfulness," right? And our hearts are a million miles away. We're not thinking about God. We're just singing the song. We're just going through the motions. It's impulsive. Living life with your heart a million miles away and telling God that you love him, that's misusing his name. God says, these people worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their hearts are far from me. Here's another way. When you pray, Jesus says, don't use a lot of meaningless words. He says, be careful. In other words, don't use God's name as a filler. What do you mean? Some people, when they pray, they got to use God or Jesus or Holy Spirit and like every other word. Dear God, thank you, Jesus. I'm just asking Jesus that, Jesus, you would bless me, Jesus, because I have this situation, Jesus. I need Jesus for you to be listening to me now and helping me, Jesus, because, and this is how they talk. Imagine if you came home and your kids addressed you like, hey, Dad, it's really good that you're home, Dad. Dad, can I borrow the car? Dad, do you have 20 bucks that I can, Dad, can I have? And you think, what's going on with all of that? Our name becomes a filler. Now, according to Barna, 66% of Americans confess that they're misusing God's name. And if God were to ask us about it, no doubt we would say, well, God, I didn't mean to use it that way. And that's the point. That's the point. Using God's name flippantly, we're not meaning it that way. But when we do, we're misusing his name. So now let me give you three ways that we can use God's name correctly. We can revere God's name continually. Two, we can represent God's name clearly. Number three, we can rely on God's name completely. So let's look at number one. Revere God's name continually, right? In other words, we're to treat with utmost respect his name, not treat it flippantly. And if you go to Psalm 29, we'll take a look at that. Psalm 29, verse 2. Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord, how? In the splendor of his holiness. We're to ascribe God's name glory. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. So in order to use God's name correctly, we ought to use it carefully, use it lovingly, use it to worship him. It's one of the reasons I don't go to R-rated movies, because so often they misuse God's name, take God's name in vain. Along with all the other filth that's going on in there. In fact, it's almost getting to the point where you can't go to any movies. Of course, in the old days, right? Some of us remember when it was taboo to go to the movies at all, right? If you went to the movies, what a sinner. Is it really that big of a deal if you misuse God's name? Well, Alan, I'll pick on you. How would you feel if someone was misusing Charlene's name? You wouldn't like it? Would you just sit by and let them do that? You see, love requires some action. It's not a good thing. It's not respect. It's not polite. It's not welcome, right? God's name is the same way, and yet we think that we can misuse his name sometime and like it shouldn't even matter. But it does. Because of the love of God, we have to be careful how he uses his name. Revere his name. Tony Campola says, do you love your mother-in-law? If not, use her name. Maybe we need a cussing jar and hold each other accountable. Down at the fire department, they put one of those in last year. It's like, okay, you use a bad word, it's going to cost you a buck. And I think they stopped that after a month or two. It was just too costly. Too costly. Huh? How many did you get a bigger jar? Yeah. Turn to Psalm 9, verse 10. Psalm 9, verse 10. It says, those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Those who know your name trust in you. Skip down to Psalm 61, verse 5. For you, Lord, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. We trust his name. We fear his name. If you study God's name, you're going to learn a lot about who God is. It's a wonderful way to get to know him better. So we can use God's name correctly by revering his name continually. Secondly, we can use God's name correctly when we represent God's name clearly. Let me have you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. 2 Timothy 2, 19. And it says, nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, the Lord knows those who are his, and, listen, everyone who confesses what? The name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. Must turn away from wickedness. In fact, Jesus says, until now you've not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you'll receive, and your joy will be made full. Rely on his name. So why do you think we even pray in Jesus' name, right? Oftentimes when we pray, we'll pray in Jesus' name. Why? You ever stop to think about why we pray in Jesus' name? What's in the name? Well, if you think about it, God is holy and we are not. We have no right to come before a holy Father in our own righteousness. Right? Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through who? Him, right? So for us to come into the Father's presence with a prayer request, that name reminds us of how we can even come there. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. And so we pray in his name. It reminds us of what he's done, that we even have access to the throne of grace. Represent his name clearly. Remember who it was who saved you, who redeemed you. Guard your mouth, guard your actions. And while we're at it, we should beware of slang. Slang. There's a lot of slang, and we take it for granted. Church, slang is just watered-down cussing. It's baby cussing. And you know what I'm talking about. Gosh dang it. Gosh dang it. Dad gummit. Gee whiz, Jiminy Christmas. Yeah. If you study the etymology of those words, they're derived from swear words. It's cussing in disguise, and it's not supposed to offend anybody. I want to tell you, it offends God. He knows what's going on in your heart. You're not fooling anyone. Number three, we use God's name correctly when we rely on God's name completely. We have to rely on Him. Psalm 33, verse 21. Let's go there. Psalm 33, verse 21. In him our hearts rejoice. Why? For we trust in his holy name. Are you trusting in him completely? Or are you just trusting in him partially? Oftentimes we have mixed allegiances, divided hearts. I trust in God, but I trust in me. I trust in this. I trust in my bank account. I trust in somebody else, right? Are you trusting in God completely? Are you trusting in his name? Are you trusting that he's going to do what he said he's going to do? That's really the definition of faith. Relying on God's name completely. Yeah. Trust in him. We trust in his name because he's the only way to the Father. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He's our bridge to God. So let's wrap this up. The bad news is we're all going to be judged by every careless word that passes through your lips. Some of us have more careless words than others. We need to go to Matthew 12, verses 33 to 37. Matthew 12, 33 through 37. And oftentimes we as Christians, we don't take these words too seriously, but we ought to. Scares me as a preacher. Listen. Jesus says, it's him speaking, Matthew 28. Let me get to the right text. Come on. I missed my tab. Matthew 12. Yeah, thank you. That is the right time. Thank you. That's on the screen up there. Doesn't Vicky do a great job? Okay, my notes are wrong. Okay, here it is. Make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized how? By its fruit. Jesus says, "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they've spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." It's not the speaking of the word, it's the condition of the heart. Your words come out of your heart, Jesus says, much like toothpaste comes out of a tube. If you squeeze that toothpaste tube, you're probably not going to get ketchup. You're going to get toothpaste. If you squeeze an orange, you're going to get orange juice. If you squeeze a godly man or woman, you're going to get godliness that comes out. If you squeeze an evil woman or a man, you're going to have evil that comes out. When we misuse God's name and those words come out, it's not a matter of, oops, I just made a bad word. I need to address the heart. I got a heart issue. I got a bad heart. The cool thing is, in the new covenant, God has promised to give us a new heart, where he's written his law. A new heart that's going to direct us to do the things he's called us to do. God knows that we've broken the third commandment, and therefore we're all doomed. But the good news is that God has provided a Savior that he might wash us clean. One more thing. By show of hands, how many people had their mouth washed out as a kid? Look at there. Hey, let me ask you, did that work? It doesn't work, right? It tastes terrible. It's like 99.9% pure. Isn't that ivory? Wasn't that ivory soap? Oh, man. It doesn't work. The soap in the mouth doesn't work because it's the heart. That's the problem that we've got, and we got to go to him. Jesus says in Luke 6:45, he says, out of the overflow of your heart, your mouth speaks. So if we're going to love God with all we've got, we've got to let God cleanse our hearts through his Holy Spirit. There we are. Command number 3. All right, here's the hand motions. We're going to go through them again. Number 1, the first commandment, no other gods. No other gods. You're shaking your finger. You're saying no other gods. Number 2, don't bow down to any idols. No bowing down. See that finger bowing down? Get your finger up, Wayne. Number 3, you got 3 fingers. Don't misuse God's name. Be careful. Be careful. Be loyal. Be focused. Be careful. Any questions? Any comments? Any confessions? Yeah. All right, let's pray. Lord God, you tell us that the tongue is like a fire that's set on fire from hell itself. Even a ship can be turned by a small thing like a rudder. But our tongue, who can tame it? Only you are capable. Lord, give us your spirit. Empower us to use words to build up, to encourage, to proclaim Jesus, to confess your faithfulness, to bring hope and healing to others. Lord, help us to use our words for good and not for evil. Lord, I pray that you help us this week in all of our relationships and all our circumstances, that we might be careful and honor you to a greater capacity than we ever have before. And I pray this in Jesus' mighty, precious, holy, and eternal name. Amen. 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 Yes. Okay. Well, most of our patients that go to West Valley get transferred, and so I'm not seeing that a really bad thing, but let's take a moment and pray for him, because obviously they couldn't treat him here, right? So Lord God, as our brother is on the way to Salem, I just pray your protection upon him. Lord, help the doctors there stabilize him and help him through this trial. We pray for his heart, Lord. Bless him. Bring healing to his body in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
If you'll stand with me, we're going to sing I'll Fly Away.
Here we go.
Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore.
Ephesians 6:24, this benediction, grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Amen. God bless. God bless. Pray for one another. Encourage each other.